This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Whoa. What happened to the intro?
Intro didn't
Dude,
go.
Dude, it's all good. What happened to the intro? Will, producer Will.
It's all good. We just chill out.
Can we go back to the intro video? I want to do the intro video. People are watching and just.
At this moment, bro.
What happened to.
All right, let's go.
That's awesome, man.
Let's go.
Yo.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Matt Kim Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Kim, with my co-host, Mr. Peter Saddington.
What's up, guys? Welcome.
Bro, Will's supposed to be on the sound effects today.
On the ones and twos.
And he is trying to run the new software that we're running. And he is trying to run the new setup and the cameras and the looks and the camera angles. And he's trying to do all this at the same time. And he's slipping on the soundtrack.
Yo, he's bro. Throwing shade early this
bro.
Early
bro.
This afternoon. Bro. Throwing bro. Shade. Bro. Throwing shade. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to be here. We're doing lots of experiments, right, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a different new setup. We've never done anything like this before. Mm. If the sound looks good, if the video looks good, definitely in the chat, let us know, because we have not done a dry run. This is the very first time we're trying this for the last...
But that's it. Isn't that it? Do it live. We'll just do it live.
We'll do it live. For the last 2 hours, we've been working on the background and trying to make sure that it functions properly. Somehow, I think it works. Mm.
I think it's all coming together. But, which also, if I may, because we have to do a little bit of administrivia here, is much props out to Latino Free Minds for that banger of an intro.
Yeah.
And we had to play that.
And he made the soundtrack also.
I was laughing so hard when the clip of your old Lambo drove fast. I was like, oh, man, yeah, that's what's up.
That's like such a different life ago. I don't even think about it anymore.
So welcome, everybody, to the Free Thinker Army and the Matt Kim Podcast. Smash the like button. Make sure that you subscribe. Join the Discord. Join the Telegram. We are all over the world. Literally all over the world.
Yeah. And is Peter tan right now, or is this side dark?
Man, I look...
Damn,
I
why look are like you so dark?
I look like Latino Free Minds.
Why are you so dark? Dude, can we get some extra lighting on him? Did we turn this light down here? Why is it orange?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I just did get back from Miami. So while we're doing a little bit of administration and Will's walking around here in the background, hopefully not going to mess anything up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, dude.
You're a spry young man.
Do not step on the wires.
I was down in Miami. So if any of you guys are down in Miami, I go down there probably once a quarter for investor stuff as well as conferences. So I was speaking at a Bitcoin conference, a Bitcoin mining conference.
How'd that go?
It went really well. We talked about the future of Bitcoin mining and the economic opportunity that is there. So for any of you guys, we have a crypto chat in the Discord channel. So you should probably check it out. We talk about crypto there.
Hmm.
Bitcoin mostly, because crypto is shit coins, but mostly just Bitcoin.
I have Bitcoin because you told me to buy Bitcoin long time ago.
And it's doing pretty damn well.
And
right
that
now.
Was good.
We're in the, over the 60s.
Peter told me to buy Bitcoin. I think it was like $3,500.
Let's go.
And then he told me to buy it again when it was like $15,000.
Let's go.
But I'm still torn.
Dude, you're up like 700x.
I'm up. I'm doing pretty good. I haven't done anything with it. It just sits there in cold storage.
That's the way it should be.
And I bought Bitcoin for my daughter when she was born.
Ooh, you are a very progressive and smart man.
Because I thought if she were to have this Bitcoin and it's worth a lot of money, it may pay for college one day. Mm-hmm. And if it, because it may pay for a semester of college by the time she goes to college. And if the Bitcoin tanks, then I'm not out a huge amount of money compared to what it would cost. However, I'm still torn.
You're still torn? Why? Tell me why.
Okay.
Why are you still torn? So I moved over a little bit more, so I have more light on me, and I'm less Latino free minds going on. I think it's working out.
Yeah, I think so. I'm torn on Bitcoin because there is... Who are the biggest holders of Bitcoin?
Right now, a lot of unknown wallets and a couple of governments, yeah.
Government and the finance companies.
Yes. Well, they're growing in size, that's for sure.
And
they understand the economic and intrinsic value of it.
Anytime government, U.S. government, and finance companies and banks get involved, they take a good thing that may have good intentions, and they fuck it up.
That is often the pattern, no doubt.
And
no
as
doubt.
They accumulate the majority of the Bitcoin out there, isn't it going to just end up same as U.S. dollar, where they just manipulate markets?
That could certainly be an out cause of their overreach. However, if it still stands to serve that based on the math and the economics, even if the governments gobble it up, it's still going to go to the moon. So the question is, the question on the tip of your tongue is, okay, Peter, well you're going to allow the banks to overrule and the financial institutions and all and for them to break into it and take control of it and manipulate it, but it's going to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars and you're going to be rich, and so it'll be all good.
Or
so am I selling out to the man, guys? Is Bitcoin a sellout?
Or if we've learned anything from the guy that burned himself in front of the Trump trial. Which, I don't know if anyone's watched the guy's manifesto or read the guy's manifesto.
I'm still waiting for the Tennessee manifesto. Like
that one is available on Substack for anyone to watch and read.
Seriously.
I read that thing, and for the first maybe four paragraphs of it, I'm like, this guy's not that wrong. This guy's not that crazy.
No. Nope.
He was actually on point about a lot of things.
Yeah. If you extracted him out of it, it almost sounded Alex Jonesy.
Yes.
Think about it. It was almost like all the major talking points of Alex Jones.
I think he's a guy that maybe started going down too many rabbit holes, got lost in the darkest holes of the rabbit holes.
Got lost in the sauce.
And just lost track of where the light is. Got lost in there. That's what I think. That's my take on him.
But don't you think that is something that is scarily... something that we may see more of? Or I have to ask the question, is it a psyop? Was it staged? Because we've seen some, let's just say, videos and pictures that seem odd surrounding the circumstances of this young man.
So I thought it was interesting that over the last year, we've had a lot of conspiracy theorists go on these crusades of killing people or burning themselves.
Mm.
We had the main shooter.
Yeah.
Which was kind of an anti-establishment type of guy. We had the UNLV shooter.
Yeah.
That shot up the whatever. He was an anti-establishment type of conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
We had the guy at the girl or the trans person at Red Rock that was trying to kill a bunch of people that ended up chickening out.
That's true. And then the Korean guy or the Chinese guy or whatever got his thing blew up.
His house blew up in DC.
DC.
We had him. He was anti-establishment and he was accusing Facebook and LinkedIn of tracking him.
Yeah, which he's not wrong.
It's almost like they are making examples of people that are conspiracy theorists and anti-establishment.
Yeah, and actually, if you follow the pattern, there seems to be a common thread of all of them that they seem to be, let's just say, missing a screw or having a screw loose, if you know what I mean.
I think the common theme amongst all these people is that they get radicalized on Reddit.
Oh, bro. They get radicalized just through social, period, full stop. Reddit is toxic acid wasteland, no doubt.
Why is Reddit? Because we've talked about how they're going to try to ban Discord, and they're monitoring all the Discord chats.
Oh, I had an update, by the way. But anyway.
And we, all the other social media companies, if you're a conspiracy theorist, if you're a misinformationist, if you are, they're trying to shut down all those platforms, get rid of all these types of ideas. But yet on Reddit, you can be as hateful as you want.
Yes.
And they don't care.
Well, Will can bring this up, but it's, and I'm not going to quote the real numbers here, so obviously the internet sleuths can correct me. But from what I understand is that the vast majority of Reddit threads are owned by like 20 people.
Really?
Yeah, and they're all blue-haired sheepdogs.
The whole thing's a psyop.
The whole thing is a psyop. Look it up, Will. You can type in a search like, how many people own the majority of Reddit threads, and you'll find articles about like that the most radicalized individuals who literally live in their parents' basements are the major managers, community mods, and managers of the largest subthreads and subreddits out there. So that basically most of Reddit is owned by just a small group of individuals, very much like Wikipedia.
Hmm.
Did you know that Wikipedia is only run by like 8 people?
Yeah, I mean, we know Wikipedia is a psyop.
Yeah, Wikipedia is complete psyop. Reddit, same thing.
Hmm. I feel like they're scrubbing the internet right now as we speak. They're like, oh, they're talking about it. Hide it off Google.
Probably. They're yeah. Obviously going to make it hard for Will to find this thing.
Are you really dark?
I mean, I can't.
Or is a monitor that we're looking at really dark?
I think the monitor is really dark. Let us know in the chat. We see you guys, Paula Trotz a lot, King's Maddie. We got Amico Phelps. We see you guys. Glad you guys are here. Everybody in chat, smash the like button. Let us know in the comments in chat if we look like
Mexicans.
I was gonna say Latino free minds, but Mexicans are fine too. I got all the love from Mexicans. Nothing wrong with that. You're probably gonna need to find a different site. Like, yeah.
I think we're moving on from this.
But anyway, yeah. So Reddit is a toxic psyop zone owned mostly by blue-haired sheepdogs who are activists, not moderators, and so they keep people in line and essentially ensure that any type of questioning, I think that was where you were going, right? Anybody who questions the narrative certainly is going to be censored and deleted. Certainly the mainstream media doesn't want to.
Peter is white adjacent. That's funny as hell.
I'm white adjacent. I you guys teach me things in this podcast, I swear. I don't even know what that really means. White adjacent. It means I'm close to the whiteies.
I'm pretty sure I am.
We were talking about this right before the stream. I mean, this. I'm just gonna throw open the skirt, Matt's skirt here, guys. We were talking about Matt's weekend, and Matt's weekend was pretty much, white bread America. Mm. I mean, tell us what you were doing this weekend.
So this weekend, let me see what I did. We did the community yard sale. So we got our little stroller thing and threw my daughter and threw in a dog, only one dog, and we rolled around and we did like yard selling and we searched for people's deals and whatever. And we bought a little table for my daughter to play in the yard. We did yard selling in the morning. In the afternoon, we played with our neighbor's kids. So our kid and our neighbor's kids played with water balloons and water tables and the hoses outside. And
wait. You guys played outside with hoses and water?
Yeah.
That's 1987, my friends. I'm telling you, white bread America is still here.
And we ordered Domino's, and we had it delivered to the house, and we had a little Domino's party outside. So that was cute as hell.
Guys, this ain't the swap meet. This ain't the swap meet in L.A. This is white bread America.
And then Sunday, we went to the farm, and we did strawberry picking.
I mean, can you get more gangsta? Can you get more ghetto than walking around with your strollers, playing with water guns and water hoses in your community?
And I thought about this, right? Because I'm at this
picking
farm,
strawberries,
and you see a lot of people that come from the city all the way out there. It's like a hour and a half drive from the city, right? So they come from Atlanta to the outskirts to go to the farm and be a part of nature and go strawberry picking, which is super cute, more than welcome. However, I thought about it. The people, the city liberals, they leave the city because they want to get away from the craziness. They want to get away from the hustle and the bustle. And they go out into these conservative areas and they talk to the people, right? They talk to the local restaurant and like, oh, it was so good to get away. People out here are so nice. They're so friendly. They treat us like family. And they go back home and like, oh yeah, those conservatives, bunch of racists. Right? Like the separation between their actual lives and reality and then the talking points that hit when they go back home, it's wild.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It truly is an exit from the echo chamber into a larger echo chamber where they actually don't escape themselves and they cannot see the cognitive dissonance that they have of, holy cow, these people at this Cracker Barrel are really nice.
Yeah.
And the people when we went hiking in that mountain and then strawberry picking were like super nice. And then they come back to their houses in, you know, basically an iron jungle of zero, you know, trees, bad air. And they look down at them and they say, well, they're all racist and they're terrible. Bro, do you have that much cognitive dissonance?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It truly is.
It's crazy because you go out to the rural parts of Georgia and it's American flags everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone's so polite, so nice. Everyone is so amazing. And, you know, really people treat you like family.
Yeah.
And you go home and you're like, oh, yeah, those conservatives, bunch of racists, bunch of fascists.
Bunch of fascists.
They want to take over the world.
Exactly. And they want and they want to reenact slavery, apparently. It's one of the talking points I saw the other day.
But they love being out there. They want to separate themselves from their shit reality, and they come out to nature, but yet they want to destroy what works out there, and they go back home, and they're like, oh, I can't believe they want to change our lives. No, like, you guys want to join ours. In your mind, you do, at least.
I would have to think, Matt, that there would be a moment of clarity in these individuals where they'd say, these people are so nice. These locations are so nice. The bathrooms are clean. You know, these types of things. And you would hope that they would be able to cross the chasm and jump the divide and say to themselves, man, I could have this every day, you know? And that, my friends, is a long-winded story of saying this is what Matt experiences every day. It's still available in America. It's still possible to have a wonderful community of people who care, people who share, people who gather together and just do life together. Ooh, I like that. Do life together. That is something that I think has changed radically over the last two decades. I don't think people do life together anymore.
We never go hang out on the weekends in the city anymore. Never.
Why would you want to? Why would you want to?
Maybe if we want to go to the mall.
You don't want to go
to the
Iron Jungle.
But outside of that, I mean, there's something about being in nature, being around, you know, things that are just naturally beautiful. It feels good. It feels great. You feel refreshed. Although it's stressful traveling with a child everywhere you go. But
it'll get easier. It'll get easier. I mean, living outside the city, living outside the Iron Jungle is the way to go. The Steel Jungle is terrible for you.
All right, so what we're typically going to do in this new format is that tomorrow we're going to hopefully figure out how to get a ticker going. So ideally, we will have a ticker moving forward where it gives the topics of what we're discussing that are going to go from next, almost like SportsCenter does or
yeah,
something
let's
like
go.
This. So
like
we're going to work on incorporating that. Hopefully, that will be into our podcast and our live show starting tomorrow. I think we're going to start doing all of our live interviews in this format, too.
Ooh.
This is completely different. I think we're going to give Will a camera so he can see the wide view also.
Oh, and I like the Obama picture on the lion up there on the wall.
We
with
do
the
have
red
the Obama
lighting.
Picture on.
I need to take a picture of that. I'll post it on Discord for all you guys to see. That was my inaugural present, a moving-in present for this podcast, is Obama riding a lion.
You did take the Bitcoin sign back.
Oh, I did take it back. But I can bring it back.
We've been looking. Well, I don't know if I want the CISI up hanging on my wall.
I can bring the Bitcoin back. We can bring the Bitcoin back, bro.
So, did you see this clip of the construction worker talking about Biden?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love this clip so much. I love this clip so much.
Let's watch it. All right.
Trump supporters in Manhattan, is that surprising? What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Is that surprising?
No, not at all.
Got a pizza box.
It's turning now.
It's so New York.
Again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
That is quintessential New York right there. Quintessential New York.
I mean, construction worker literally walking around with a pizza box. And fuck you.
It's just like do you remember the NASCAR? What do you have to say? Fuck Joe Biden. I mean, that is, and I think that is the closest to reality. I think interviews, I'm glad that they grabbed that guy because that is the word on the street.
I mean, New York is changing. New York is shifting.
They're really fed up.
I think New York is really pissed off.
Do you think they really have
because
had
it's
enough?
Dirty. Mm. It's dirtier than it's ever been. Crime is up. Mm. The cops are fed up. I have one of my best friends is a New York City cop, and he NYPD cop. He's been there for years. And people, if you can retire, you're retiring because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the idea that if they go arrest somebody, they're the ones that are going to get in trouble. Like, it's so much going on with New York City, and the cops are just, like, done. Yeah. People are taking early retirement and giving up because the retirement program for cops in New York is amazing.
Well, apparently now you can actually become a cop, and you don't have to be a citizen of
America.
Which
is crazy.
I mean, everybody out there, just think for a second. Does it make any logical or rational sense for someone who isn't a citizen of a country to then become part of the controlling agency, right? The controlling apparatus, the police, part of the police state of that nation, and you're not even a citizen. How does that make any sense? How does that work?
The hardest part is if they don't get illegals to become cops, if they don't get illegals to join the military, then who the hell is going to join the military and be a cop? Because right now, recruiting for the military is down like an all-time low. No one wants to join the military.
Yeah.
So now it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. If you don't recruit illegals, and they keep on... See if you can find one of these gay commercials for the military, Will. Because it's whack.
Our military is so gay. I mean... It's unfortunate. I mean, and people, I know people who are ex-military veterans, love you guys, respect. But you have to concede a very simple fact that the branding and marketing of American military today is super gay.
It's not as cool as it used to be.
It's so homo.
It used to be something that you're proud of to do.
I used to enjoy the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy commercials because they look badass. They were like flying in, dropping in. They got their weapons. They're doing stuff. They look like they're like doing some sort of special operation. I mean, it made you feel manly. Grew some hair on your chest, right? But the commercials of today, it's all like, let's ensure that diversity exists in the military. It's like, is diversity more important than like is getting killed? like winning the battle? Or do we have to win the battle of the minds of the heart and souls of everybody first so that everybody wears pink first and blue?
And it sucks for people that are former military. That it's something that they're extremely proud of, because most military guys are extremely proud of the fact that they served, right? Yeah. Totally understandably, as you should be.
They put their life on the line.
Also, part of it is people are realizing that the wars that they fought in, they're like, fuck.
It's a banker's war.
That it really wasn't our war, that the reason we risked our lives, lost our friends, wasn't for what we were told, and I think that's a big part of it also.
I'm seeing a lot of... Did you see the black lady who was talking about all the money that we're sending to Ukraine? And she was videoing it. It was a TikTok viral video. Anyway, so she had, long story short, her husband was like a 20-plus year veteran, the United States military. He died in service during active duty. And she's just recounting in her car just all the sleepless nights. All of the anxiety of when she's going to get, you know, the military chaplain, you know, the call, right? When they tell you that your husband is dead or your son is dead, like all that dread, all that fear for decades on decades. And she's pissed. She's pissed. Why? Because all of our money is going to more wars.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm seeing more of this. You guys correct us if we're wrong, but I'm seeing more of this online. I'm seeing a lot more media of veterans and people who are, you know, veterans of the military, and they're saying, look, like we're kind of had enough of this. We kind of had enough of this. There were good reasons in the past, but the reasons that we're going to war and spending all of our money overseas, the reasons are not as good as they once were. Let's just say it that way.
We need to do a better job of prepping these assets, stream assets. Mm. Something we're going to work on. I think Will's going to take charge of that. Maybe someone in the community wants to help Will as we prepare topics and prepare clips and videos so that Will is not looking for him constantly because he's got like 10 fingers. No, he's got like 20 fingers.
So going back to the New York loves Trump, I know that we have a lot of people from the New York, New Jersey, Northeastern region. You guys let us know in the chat. Let us know in Discord if you're guys seeing this as well. I have a lot of connections up in New Jersey and New York area, and I don't usually talk about this type of stuff, but I will say that the overall sentiment that I feel like I've gotten is that the Northeastern, let's just say, rational individuals – like this man that we saw on the street holding the pizza box, a construction worker. I think a lot of people are getting frustrated. A lot of people are getting tired of the rhetoric, and they're seeing, I think, it's one thing to disagree with the policy, but once the policies are exacted, and then now you have this flood of illegals, you have all this malfeasance, you have, now that they're actually seeing it, it's like, man, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have voted this way. So I think a lot of minds are being changed as we're moving into this election.
I mean, just here in Georgia, you look around, everyone's from New York. People are like, fuck this. We're out of here. This is ridiculous. It's so expensive. Tax rate crazy high.
Yep.
Crime is out of control. Schools are weird for kids.
Super weird.
Like, let's just get out of here. I don't know how you stay in that area right now.
Yeah. Like, what would be the good reasons for staying?
Because that's where you're from. It used to be a thing where I lived in New York for a long time.
Yeah.
And when you live in New York City, you're like, I'm a New Yorker.
It's a pride.
It's
ego
a pride thing.
Okay,
you know,
okay,
like yeah. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, right? That's kind of the line, tagline, right? Mm. I'm from New York. I can survive anywhere. And if you're not from New York and you go to New York, leaving New York is almost like you couldn't cut it and you almost failed.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I have never thought that. I understand. I get it.
When I lived in New York and we'd see someone come for a year and then they're no longer there, I'm like, oh yeah, he couldn't cut it.
He couldn't hack it.
Yeah. There's something to that, that New Yorkers are really proud of, that I'm a New Yorker. This is what I do. This is where I'm from. And I'm from New York. This is what But now, like, someone's like, I'm from New York. I'm like, oh, that sucks. You know?
I'm sorry for you, bro. How long have you lasted?
Yeah. Like, why?
Why?
Why are you still there?
Exactly. The taxes are high. The crimes, it smells terrible. By the way, most suicides and most depression is up in that area, by the way, because, you know, it's dark and damp and cold. And I mean, like, there's not a whole lot of wind going on right there.
And these trials are still going on in New York.
Gracious.
Trump is out there for who knows how long now for the Stormy Daniels trial. Do you even care about these trials anymore? Are you guys fed up with the trials? Are you guys even tracking the trials anymore?
If I can say, like, as someone who's on the periphery, but also kind of semi-engaged, there's so much going on, I think it's actually impossible to track. So could it be said that part of the strategy is to inundate the public with so much? I mean, how many indictments does he have now or counts? Is it like 90, 100? Who knows? Like, does it even
totally
matter?
Totally lost count.
Does it even matter?
I don't even care anymore.
Not exactly.
I'm not even following.
And maybe that is the psyop. Maybe that's the strategy, is inundate the public with so much just static of what's going on that people just say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. I don't even care anymore. And maybe they're thinking that that might translate to not wanting to vote.
That's a very good possibility, is that give people so much Trump fatigue and Trump news fatigue.
Not derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
Fatigue.
You're so much going on that you're like, oh, I'm kind of done with this.
Yeah, I'm kind of over Trump now.
It could be.
Yeah.
Because the amount of Trump news I follow in the last week or 2 weeks is like almost nothing.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way of having the pendulum swing from let's censor everything about Trump. Let's censor people who are trying to support him. The growth. He's obviously out there crushing it because he's filling up stadiums, right? And filling up, meeting spaces and speaking spaces. So the other strategy is let's let the pendulum swing to fatigue. Let's just shotgun blast everybody in the face every single day.
That I'm just not paying attention. I don't. Is he winning? Anybody know? Is he winning?
This is coming from someone who had Trump's literally stand next to him and say, "Nice baby,
nice baby,
nice baby,
nice baby."
Yeah. Or did he say perfect baby?
Perfect baby.
Perfect baby.
What a perfect baby.
What a perfect baby from the man himself.
I'm just not following this trial like I used to follow the other trials.
It's not even worth it because the outcome is useless. That's why.
And then Arizona's like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna indict all the people that claimed election fraud." And I'm like, I don't really care anymore either. is it time to vote yet? Can I just get my vote in?
So it has been, let's talk about the voting. So it has been absolutely 100% verified that there was fraud in the last election. But we could also, if we looked under the covers and under the hoods of every previous elections, probably we could find the same.
Well, we had Tucker interviewed the guy that did the poll. Did you see that?
Yeah.
See if you can find that one. Will.
So if we can verify it, why aren't people pissed off?
Fatigue.
Like it's almost like they drag it on to, I think that's the strategy. Drag it out when we know years ago there was fraud. Drag it out to the point where we were, screaming chicken little, sky's falling, fraud. Finally, years later, they're like, yeah, you're right.
The boy who called Wolf. But you just don't pay attention any longer.
Exactly.
You just say it and you throw it in people's face so much. That you just don't care. You don't want to hear it anymore.
Wow.
Like, how many people are actually tracking this trial? And these are every day. Every day he's doing a press conference from in front of the courtroom.
Yeah.
And there's some people that are talking about it, but...
No. I think
maybe Twitter forces it on you because they want you to talk about it. But for me, on a personal level, I'm kind of checked out on it.
So we have, what? It's April. So we got, what, 6 more months?
Hmm.
6 more months to election. So... Don't we have to start ratcheting up the rhetoric, or have we hit peak ratchet?
Election season hasn't even started yet.
I already feel like it went up and down.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just to get people so fatigued and so sick of it that you lose interest in politics.
Yeah, but
because this election season, the ratings on election season is the lowest it's been in I don't know how many years.
Mm.
So people actually are in, as a whole, already kind of checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only two candidates, and most of America have already decided who they're going to pick, who they're going to vote for.
Yeah, which is Trump. Right?
I had to put a number...
I'm the one asking the question.
Dude, if I had to put a number on the likelihood of Trump winning, I would say the likelihood of Trump winning is at 48%.
What?
Give or take 2% of standard deviation.
I'm really surprised, Matt. I thought you would say something higher. Why am I so shocked about this?
I think so.
Why am I half shocked face right now?
I think so because the Democratic Party and the Democratic machine hasn't even started spending their billion-dollar war chest yet.
Oh, they haven't.
It may be, according to the polls, maybe it's 52 or 53% Trump now. Trump is spending all of his money on six... And all this time on trials, on everything else going on. And once it hits summertime, Democratic Party is going to spend ridiculous amounts of money, $1 billion. And a lot of people say this doesn't work. But history says you throw someone's face in front of your eyes over and over and over again.
Yep.
It actually does work.
Yeah, Facebook proved that they moved sentiment from one side to the other.
And the only platform that Trump seems to be winning on by the biggest margin, which is TikTok, is starting to get taken down.
Mm.
Hey, let's watch this thing on the election real quick. This Tucker clip is 3 minutes. Let's do this real quick. If you guys haven't seen it, this is fascinating, by the way.
It's now apparently a criminal offense, a felony in this country, to suggest the 2020 presidential campaign was not on the level. That crime appears to form the basis of one of Donald Trump's pending indictments. He's an election denier. But actually, it's worth denying the legitimacy of that election because it was not fair. Critical information was withheld from voters through censorship and, yes, by the government. That is a fact. It's also a fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to control voting in various places around the country and affect the outcome. That's not legitimate. It was also conducted in many places through electronic voting machines. And no country should ever use electronic voting machines because fundamentally they cannot be trusted. Why would you trust it? But then there's the question of outright cheating, voter fraud. Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some, but was it widespread? That is a hard allegation to prove, though, of course, many people believe there was widespread fraud. Well, now it turns out we know for a fact that there was. And in fact, it can be proven with a poll. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable. Justin Haskins is a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute.
I love the intelligence of these people.
With details.
Yeah. They're just like, yeah, no problem.
For coming on.
I did it.
If you could start by giving us the results, the shocking results of this poll, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So it was pretty straightforward. We asked people a series of questions. The first of which is, or one of the first questions was, did you vote in the 2020 election, and did you vote with an absentee ballot? And if they answered yes to both of those questions, then we asked a bunch of questions related to voter fraud. We didn't tell them that we were asking, did you commit voter fraud? We just asked them about various behaviors. So, for example, we asked,
where's people, the Gottim guy?
Did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you're not a permanent resident of a state, you can't vote there. 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? That's also illegal. You're not allowed to fill out someone else's ballot. 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, with or without their permission. We actually put that in the poll question, and 17% of people said yes to that. So all told, it's at least, and I say at least, one in five mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity. But we didn't just stop there. We also asked everyone whether they voted via mail-in ballot or not, so in-person voting as well. Do you know anyone who personally, in your personal life, a friend, a family member, acquaintance, someone from work, has anyone ever admitted to you that they did one of these kinds of forms of voter fraud?
Man.
And 10% and 11%, we asked two different questions
there
on
you go,
that,
right
said,
here.
Yes, people admitted to me that they committed voter fraud.
Thanks all for watching us on
That's
X.
crazy, isn't it? They said, did you commit voter fraud? And they had to ask the questions in a cute way. But one in five people.
They admitted it.
And after all of this research... After all of this research and all of these polls and all the scientific ways, the most easiest way to figure out if there was actually voter fraud in the election was simply, did you do it? And people are like, yeah, fuck it, I did it.
Well, I guess if you give them the context, hey, this is a anonymous, we're not asking for any names, it's just a poll.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, guards down. Ask me anything, bitch, because I'm a superstar. And they're just like, did you commit voter fraud? Hell yeah, got him. Like, that's it. Like people are, like, and I think this actually points deeply to a natural tendency in humanity, which is humans, at the end of the day, they do naturally want to be honest, especially if there's something that they've done that could be dishonest or not good. Or, I mean, you have a kid. You're going to go through this. Like, you're going to see moments in your daughter when you know you caught her. The cookie jar is all over, smashed. The dogs clearly didn't get it. She's got chocolate on her lips and her nose and her fingers. And you're looking at her and you're going to say, did you do it? And she's holding it in. She wants to say no. But then in a moment of clarity, you know what she does? She goes, Appa, I ate the cookie. Appa. See, and that's just what people, they want to relieve themselves of the guilt. So this poll is a great indicator, at least in my opinion, of the true form of these human beings. They are willing to fake. They're willing to rob, steal. They're willing to vote incorrectly. They're willing to cheat. That's just the nature of the beast. And at least they're honest about it.
how many of these people that went through the poll are finally like, oh, finally got it off my chest.
No,
I feel so good.
It's not, no, don't get it twisted, man.
Breathe.
It's not that
I had to tell somebody.
It's
I had
not
to tell
that this
somebody.
Was something that was destroying their soul. But at the same time, you're giving me a free outlet to admit malfeasance in a kind of a fun way because my president Biden won and I got you. You know, I stole the vote. Like, okay, Mr. Man, whoever it is on the other side of the call, you ain't going to know nothing. Fine, I did it. Fine, I did it. I cheated. I did a absentee ballot and I signed a signature from my dead grandma. Like, they don't have no qualms about it, brother.
Joke's on you. Space Force is recording all of the data.
Bum, bum, bum. You done fucked up now.
Did you see this clip of Joe Biden saying that he will debate Trump?
I like the, did you see the one where he said his like father was cannibalized? Did you see that shit? Did you see that, Will? He was talking about, you didn't see, even Peter, you know, the reporter who talks to the
Peter White
House, Ducey, even he was like, look, President Biden was talking about how his like father or something got cannibalized in Africa. Like he was eaten by other humans. Like he was off the riff, guys. It was awesome. Anyway, what were we talking about? Biden will debate. I did not see this. Is this something we need to watch?
Let's watch it real quick.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your.
Wait, he's
your
on opponent. What the fuck?
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to debate.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts. But tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again. Excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes.
He was on Howard Stern.
He was on Howard Stern?
He was on Howard Stern.
Dude, okay, can we, before we have any color commentary.
I used to really like Howard Stern, by the way.
Can I ask a temperature gauge?
Okay.
Like, if you're President Biden and you're on Howard Stern, is that good optics or bad optics? Like, isn't that like bottom of the fucking barrel? Haven't we hit bottom barrel?
On the left, Howard Stern is considered a cultural icon.
Well,
he's been around a long time.
Well, you and I can agree he's a cultural icon.
He used to be a free speech type of guy.
I used to listen to him.
So if you're on Howard Stern, you'd be like, look, this was the open format. It was layup after layup, softball after softball. And actually, he just talks over him because Biden can't really have a long conversation.
Biden looked like he was having constipation.
So chat, let me know. Do you guys think Biden will actually debate Trump?
I don't think he was on his meds.
You guys think?
He didn't look like he was on his meds.
Well, Biden debate Trump, because if he doesn't, it's crazy that there's no presidential debate. It has to happen, I would think. He would have to. Do you guys think that Biden will actually debate Trump?
Yeah, let us know in the chat, guys. I think you guys can tell from my nonverbal body language. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, number one, that he was on Howard Stern. Number two, I can't imagine some marketing or press person or branding, whatever, is leading the campaign for Biden saying this is a good idea. Because Howard Stern, while being a truly a left iconoclast individual and a certainly a big part of the firmament of entertainment, like, he's a degen. He's a degenerate. Wouldn't you agree? He has the most degen show of all time. So I just don't see this as like, are you trying to connect with voters here? Because who connects with Howard Stern?
Well, the problem with the narrative is, look, Biden doesn't do long form. Biden doesn't do podcasts. Biden doesn't do long interviews. Biden doesn't do any of it. Who can we put him in front of to make it look like he's doing these things?
Oh.
Because they keep on saying he can't. So why don't we put him to an industry plant, someone that's been super compliant during COVID.
And handled.
Because he was, Howard Stern was completely on board with everything COVID.
Yeah.
And why don't we put him there? And the world can't say Biden doesn't do podcasts because he did Howard Stern. How can you say that he doesn't do podcasts? He was with the shock jock doing it.
And the shock jock, Howard Stern, I'm sure, because I didn't watch it, I'm sure he did most of the talking, most of the setups, most of ensuring that Biden looked good.
And how many of the questions and talking points were given in advance?
Oh, yeah, of course.
How much of it was pre-prepared?
It's all a show.
Whole world's a show.
It's all the show, man. Even us. We're just a show.
Although, it's true. If Biden and Trump debate, we will definitely stream that live.
Oh,
because that will be the best.
Okay,
well, I can't wait.
Let me finally get there. I was so shocked that I didn't get to the meat and potatoes of this content here. Biden, let me just ask the question.
Yes.
How do you think a debate with Biden and Trump would actually go down?
Well, they're gonna put him in a lot of drugs.
I mean, he's gonna.
The questions will probably be predetermined, so he'll have time to prepare for the debate.
But how could they constrain Trump from saying certain things? Because Trump is master of going off script.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably put unfriendly moderators in
to
rein him in.
Yeah,
they got to do that. And I understand why they would do it. I don't know. I almost feel like I'm torn. Is it better for Trump if they debate or they don't debate?
Ooh, that's a good question.
If they don't debate, Trump forever can say, look, Biden, he's so incoherent that he doesn't debate me. And the whole right will say, look, Biden won't debate because he's scared. He loses that talking point because Biden has nothing to lose. Everyone thinks he's going to fail. He shows up and all of a sudden Biden does maybe what he did during the State of the Union address, which was he crazy? Yeah. Did he lie out of his teeth? Sure. But he wasn't that bad.
I mean, he certainly sounded like the Weimar Republic. That, by the way, I am training myself, Matt.
Mm.
Just as an anecdote, sidebar, I am training myself to use Weimar Republic as a catch-all answer to most things that are happening right now.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
The Weimar Republic.
Weimar Republic?
Weimar Republic is Nazi Germany. All the things that happened building up Nazi Germany.
Weimar.
Yeah, building up to the World War II, like all the fascism, right? We had Italy fascist with Mussolini. We had Hitler rising to power and creating the Weimar Republic. But everything that was happening in the Weimar Republic, if you connect the dots, is very similar to the patterns that are happening in America today.
Mm.
And maybe, just for maybe, if you know the results of World War II in the Weimar Republic in Germany, certain individuals were expelled.
Maybe for another day.
So maybe everything is just building up like Weimar Republic. So if you can connect the dots, guys, I'm giving you guys lots of drops here. Weimar Republic, all the things.
Did you see James O'Keefe dancing?
Man.
Dude, can we just watch?
Man, not like this.
Did you see him dancing?
There are some things that can't be unseen.
Did you see it?
No.
You didn't see it?
Do I need to see this?
Oh, bro. Because... I am personally torn on James O'Keefe and his tactics.
Let's sit on that before we watch this video. I wanted to unpack this a little bit.
The way that he is normalizing the idea of surveillance, the way he is normalizing the idea of hidden cameras and getting people drunk to get the, and if you're on a date and you met a guy on Grindr, and you are you, which is a gay man, and you're thinking, I'm going to get laid tonight. I'm going to get some ass, literally. Then there, you may say whatever you can, whatever you have to impress the guy.
You got to get the honeypot.
And I love it when Anthony says this word. I don't know where he came up with this word. I don't know if it's an official phrase, but he says, James O'Keefe's always going around honey-dicking people.
The honeypot, guys. Okay, so what you're critiquing, which I think is fair, you're critiquing his tactics.
Yes.
So he's interviewing, he's getting information under the guise of a Grindr date.
Yes.
Okay, so everything that you put together is absolutely 100% true. Like, you're going to say whatever you can to get to the honeypot, right? Mm. I mean, it's a Grindr date. Like, we're not there to eat fries and cheese. We're here to pack fries and cheese. Like, I don't know what that actually means. I just made that up, but it sounded pretty good. Someone correct me if that's actually the right lingo for gayness. But my issue is, like, is James O'Keefe gay?
Well... That's something we've thrown out a lot, right?
Like, I don't think we have a verified answer for that.
All right. If you get 5 Grindr dates and you get information, you can make your video to put it online.
Yeah.
Your success rate maybe if we're generous, it's 10%, right, of convincing people to go on these dates with you. Meaning his entire day is spent swiping right on Grindr and messaging people.
That's,
bro, you're kind of hot, bro. We should go out, right? That's like literally half your day.
That's,
at what point is that like, huh, you do it because you enjoy it.
Ooh. Yeah, I think the proof is in this video.
Well, and because there was this other viral video that someone put up saying that, oh, look, he is being so mean to this girl and they're like groping her.
Oh.
Right? But it's his friend that's doing all the talking. He's there and he doesn't seem that interested in the girl.
We don't have any.
And there's no problem if he's gay.
You can do whatever you want. It's just, it's an odd circumstance.
And how far is he really willing to go to get the story?
Well, sometimes you gotta get to the ditty of it, if you know what I mean. Let's watch this video and then we'll comment on it.
All right, you gotta watch the video.
Oh, James. Not like this, though. James, not like this. Not like this, James. Oh no, not the twirl. Oh!
I'm turning away in shame now. I'm turning away in shame.
My good Christian values are kicking in, guys.
All right. We've talked about this maybe last episode or the episode before. If you're a grown-ass man and you spend your day practicing choreography, there's a 90% chance you're gay.
Probably.
It is what it is.
Probably.
And if you do it for fun because I want to do a parody video, it's even gayer.
Probably.
Yeah.
And the amount of practice that you had to put in to make it
so
look.
If he is, it's a weird thing for me.
I think what makes it weird, guys, is the fact that, let's be honest, most people who are gay, that is 90% of their branding and narrative, right? Mm. Because that's the uniqueness. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the gays these days are getting overshadowed by the trans who are crushing it in terms of branding. All right. I mean, shoot, if you're a trans, black, handicapped veteran, Native American, like, you have the best spot to be the oppression Olympic gold medalist winner. But I'll tell you what makes it odd, I think, is because he doesn't put his gayness in front of his mission.
Mm.
And I think what we're used to is the gayness goes before the mission. For him, the mission is clearly more important than the means and ways in which he achieves the mission. And I think that's what makes it odd, because he doesn't really talk about it, but then he has some flagrant and relatively flamboyant videos like this that make you go, hmm. And when you go, hmm, because he's trying to do the Lord's work, he's trying to uncover malfeasance and badness and things that are happening in the world that are terrible, you don't want to go, hmm, about who he is, because it makes you go, hmm, about what he does. Does that make sense?
Well, I wonder, what is he actually accomplishing? Because we get to see, maybe hear people say, from Pfizer say, oh yeah, we knew that there were multiple variants.
Mm.
The guy's like not in the know.
Yeah.
He's like some mid-level guy, and the mid-level guys don't know shit. He gets a random staffer that works for a congressman. And you're like, well, like, that guy that's not in the know. He's not in the inner circle conversations. He doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
And nothing actually happens to these people that he does the gotchas for. Maybe they get fired.
I think it's finally coming full circle for me, Matt.
But what does it actually achieve? Other than normalization of surveillance on people, which I really don't like.
I think you close the loop for me.
Mm.
I think you close the loop for me. And I think part of the reason why I shrunk back in shame, everybody, and I couldn't finish watching the video, is because I feel like the loop had been closed in that I can just no longer take this man seriously. I just can't. Like, it's just like, you're trying to do the right thing, but at the same time, the means and ways in which you do it, it matters.
It does matter.
It does matter.
It does
and
matter.
So if I can just steal the mic here for a second, like, you're going to have this conversation with your daughter. I've had this conversation with my son. I've had the conversation with my daughter. I can tell you immediately that I've had this conversation at least 3 or 4 times with my son at the racetrack, where where he comes off, he's upset because a guy shunted him or hit him, wasn't fair. You know, we got thousands of dollars worth of damage that I got to fix now and rebuild. And he's coming off, he's complaining, and he will say something. And this is in the past, like, you know, next time I'm just going to go out there and I'm just going to crunch him. And that is when I sit there and I say, no, how we live in being good people and how we respond to the negative that happens to us is a marker of the God we serve and the people that we want to be, you know, and I've had numerous conversations about this. So I think what this topic has touched on me is the fact that the way in which you do it actually matters.
Hmm.
And doing it with integrity actually matters. The one image that you brought into my mind that I cannot remove now, which was help seal the deal for me, is the fact that I never thought that to be able to get the amount of interviews he has, he literally has to be spending hours on that app.
All day long.
Like swiping, like looking at butt cheeks all day.
And chatting with them.
Like,
and how do you get people interested? Can I start sharing videos, sharing pictures?
I bet he's got a template. He's just like, this is the one that's like just showing a little bit of side ass.
Sending up dick pics.
No, but you can't show the full thing. You just got to show the tip. I think the means matters. I think it really does, guys. You let us know in the chat. Let us know in Discord if you disagree with us. I think I'm coming from a fatherly aspect because I've had these conversations with my kids about how we do it matters actually more. Right.
I mean, because Phelps is here saying he disagrees. Well, then what's wrong with the Democrats saying, well, we cheated, but we had to because we thought we were saving democracy. How you do it matters. You can't just do whatever you want and be salacious. You can't be lying to people. You can't do all of these things just because you're getting the result that you wanted. There has to be some sort of order and process. And yes, one side does it. I don't think we should be doing it also.
You know, I want to bring Phelps up because he's hitting it up the chat. Much respect, much love. And I think that's one of the things that we can appreciate about our community of free thinkers is that our job, and let's just go back to, you know, foundational level, guys. Our job is to question the narrative.
Mm.
Have we ever espoused that we have the answers or the solutions? Never. And so we're asking the questions. We have our own opinions. We have our own ideas about how the world should be. Certainly, we love our community. And that's what we love is that Phelps is willing with courage to say, completely disagree with Matt.
But you're wrong.
and let me highlight what Phelps says on chat. He says he's which is who we're talking about, is literally raising awareness. And that is the value, is that there is malfeasance, there's evil. I think that's probably a better word. There's evil happening. So one would ask, is it right for evil to be done to reveal evil? Or must you reveal the evil through the good and right means?
That one. That's what I think.
I think that is the moral and ethical question.
It's also the harder way to do it.
Fuck yeah, it's the harder way to do it. It's always harder. It's always harder to what did the Bible say? And there's other books that have similar, right? Turn the other cheek. Right? If someone does my son wrong on the racing track, we don't go back and crash out his cart. We get back on there. We show him that we're faster by pace, by skill, right? That's the harder job because you have to eat that shit and I got to spend fucking $3,000 rebuilding the chassis.
And more than the honey dicking, I just don't like the idea of surveillance cameras. You know, because right now we live in a world where you never know who's recording you.
That's true.
Like, that sucks.
So what do you think about the new...
There's no more privacy in this world.
What do you think about the new AI pins that are coming out? Have you seen those? Did you see Marques Brownlee's?
I saw his video saying,
It's the worst review he's ever done of that, like, AI, the tracker thing. So we're going to...
I don't like it. I don't like it. There's no more privacy in this world, and I think that's really messed up because we should be able to have conversations with people that we barely know or we do know feeling like we're not being recorded at all times. And yes, our phones are constantly monitoring us. Yes. But it's something, and if you're going to sit there and you're going to record people, fine. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the premise of it. I don't like the normalization of it. And I don't like that he's selling these kits to everyone either. It just rubs me the wrong way.
It does seem, if we were to take a similar pattern, it would seem odd if you were, let's just say, someone who were to be creating things that go boom in your basement, and then you were to sell the documents and the, you know, the wireframes and sell the instructions on how to build things that go boom, right? You'd have a knock from probably some authorities relatively quickly. So for him to be giving out, I think you're right. He gives out these packets that have everything you need, right, to be able to record and take recording of it. Some people would say that's because in some states it's illegal to do that. So he might actually be enabling illegal activities from individuals who get these packages from, right?
I just don't like it. I don't like.
So you have issues with him normalizing this idea of, hey, it is good and right for you to record someone, especially if you could get them to admit that they have dirt on something.
Yeah, because a lot of people will have malice in their intent also, right? They're waiting or they're baiting, and then at the right moment, you're clipping them.
So Phelps says the secrets should be revealed because they're evil.
But they're not secrets. These are low-level people that are just ruined. They're getting their lives ruined. Not that I agree with them, but he's not going after the people in charge.
You know, I've watched a lot of them.
They're idiots.
Not only are they idiots, number one, but number two, every single video I've ever seen, I've not felt sympathetic for the person because they're usually egomaniacs. They're like oversharing all the details.
They're trying to get laid. About it. They're trying to get dicked.
I think this is a tough subject because there's so much evil going on in the world, in politics, in business, private and public business. There's so much malfeasance, so much just bad actors out there. And you wonder, do we need people like James O'Keefe? The answer is yes. I think we can both agree. We need people like James O'Keefe who are doing the hard journalistic work of uncovering malfeasance, bad actors, and evil. James O'Keefe has found a cheat code. It's called dating apps.
Well, and I guess...
Right? And the cheat code seems to create some ethical and moral gray lines, right?
And is he targeting people? So is he saying, okay, here is something that we want to cover.
Of course he's targeting people.
Let me go figure that out. Or is it swipe right, swipe right, swipe right, swipe right. Oh, we got someone. What does he know?
No. Actually, you made me think even harder about this. How the hell does he know that guy works for Pfizer?
He's just swiping everyone. He's just talking to a million guys on Grindr.
That makes it seem like he's spending even more time on Grindr.
What do you do?
You know what I mean? You remember back in the 90s, ASL?
Yeah, he's just ASLing everyone. ASL, question mark.
For those of you millennials, you don't know what ASL is, it's because you're young bloods. Age, sex, location. We used to do that shit in Telnet and chat back in the day. Oh, man, we'd give away everything, dude.
Yeah, and half the girls that you thought you were talking to were dudes.
Of course, more. It was like Georgia Tech. 90% of them were dudes.
All right, let's move on. Moving on. TikTok.
Oh,
this TikTok ban. It looks like it's going to happen.
I think so, brother. I think so. And let me get your hot take. Good thing, good idea, bad idea?
Horrible idea.
Why?
Because I don't like it when the government intervenes in private business.
Do you like...
End of story. Don't get involved. It's not your place to do that.
Do you like it even more when they shove the shove it through a bill that sends more of our billions of dollars?
Yeah. Let's send $75 billion to Ukraine, $25 billion Israel. Oh, and by the way, let's also ban TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck did that come from?
Where did that come from? It's like, it's so random, man. Let's give all our money to all these other countries. Oh, by the way, you can't use Microsoft Word anymore. It's like, what?
And it's so hypocritical because they don't do anything about Google. They don't do anything about YouTube. They don't do anything about Facebook. Fuck YouTube. They don't do anything about any of these major platforms that are monopolies that used to be regulated years ago. They do nothing about now. And all of a sudden, they care about TikTok?
So why do you think it is? Why do you think they're trying to shut down TikTok? Other than the mainstream narrative, the obvious mainstream narrative.
Can we play shoes clip first real quick?
Is it commercial interests? Is that what it is?
I think I know.
Hi, everyone. is show here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on all platforms. Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard, and that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident, and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people who have found acceptance and compassion, offered inspiration and encouragement, increased their awareness, and brought into perspectives, ultimately adding more delight and joy to their lives. Our community is also filled with 7 million business owners who have built their livelihoods on TikTok. While we make our case in court, you'll still be able to enjoy TikTok like you always have. In fact, if you have a story about how TikTok impacts your life, we'll love for you to share it to showcase exactly what we're fighting for. Meanwhile, we will continue to invest and innovate to keep our community vibrant, exciting, and safe. Through our U.S. data security efforts, we have built safeguards that no other peer company has made. We have invested billions of dollars to secure your data and keep our platform free from outside manipulation. I can't say this enough. This extraordinary diverse community is what makes TikTok so special, what makes it matter, and what makes it meaningful. And we'll keep working to ensure you will always have the opportunity, the safety, and the freedom to enjoy all TikTok has to offer. Thank you.
So, in thinking about TikTok, the people think that it's run by the left, which maybe people are, but all tech is.
All tech is.
All tech is run by people on the left.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
It's just the way tech works. Yeah. There are people, the number one platform where someone switches from a liberal to conservative, of all the platforms in the country, is TikTok.
Yep.
The number one platform for someone to get red-pilled is TikTok.
Yep.
The number one people for people to disseminate information quickly and get different conspiracy theories out there in the world is TikTok.
Yep.
Actually, there's more active users on a daily basis that live on TikTok over places like X, which is not a lot of people hanging on X on a regular basis. It's the same people. And X, the way they use their algorithm, is that you get locked into this little echo chamber of people that agree with you.
Yep.
You actually don't discover new content on X, very rarely.
Dropping facts.
So what they want from TikTok, because I saw that people, ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, came out and said, we're not going to sell TikTok.
Yep.
Or we will sell TikTok without the algorithm. What they want is TikTok's algorithm. They don't want the company. They don't want the data. No one gives a fuck about data. Your data is worthless because I got at least 4 emails in the last week saying my data has been compromised. No one goes after them. No one cares about your data. They want TikTok's algorithm.
And why do they want TikTok's algorithm? They want to know how to use that algorithm so they can manipulate it and they can make sure that they can censor effectively, they can deplatform effectively, shadow ban effectively, is what you're saying.
Yes.
They want the secret sauce.
They want the sauce. No one can replicate it. YouTube Shorts can't figure out how to replicate TikTok's algorithm.
This is an interesting, multifaceted issue because the libs of TikTok... Chaya Rychek. Haven't you met her?
No, okay. I don't think so. Maybe I did.
I thought you have.
I don't remember.
I mean, you've met so many famous people. I could just say you met Tom Hanks. No, that would not be good.
Wait. Is he an Epsteiner?
Yeah.
Oh.
Big time.
That list is so long. I don't even know
Tom
who it is.
Oh, Tom Hanks in the red palm on the ball. Big. Big deal. Him and Oprah, they're like... Actually, some of you guys know Tom Hanks was hanging out with Big Mike this weekend on his big yacht.
Really?
True story. I saw it on the news. Anyway, let me bring this back. I'm all over the place right now, guys. I thought TikTok was a bastion for the liberal mind virus of trans. So Isn't that a leftist progressive idea that they want to promote?
I think TikTok...
Or it says TikTok abandoned the left.
I think TikTok shows people what they're watching, engaging, and looking at. So if you're a libs of TikTok and all you do is go through trans lib content on TikTok, they're just going to keep on showing it to you because that's what you're watching.
I thought TikTok was a trans like nirvana. Mm-mm. That was the place for trans to hang out.
Because I'm on TikTok, I don't see any of this weird shit because I don't engage with it, nor am I interested in it. So I don't get served any of this stuff. So sometimes I'll see something on Twitter, on libs of TikTok or something like, dude, I've never seen this video before.
Interesting.
I never get shown that.
Interesting.
They tailor it to you. So when Congress goes out and the one guy goes, I forget which congressman, he's like, man, TikTok, all they show is like gay, like little boy gay porn. Bro, that's all you're watching.
Dude, you said the silent part out loud.
You're not supposed to say that out loud. They are showing you what you engage with. They're showing you what you watch. They're showing you what your search history says you enjoy.
Yeah.
If your algorithm on TikTok is a bunch of kiddie gay porn, that's what you wanted to see.
Why? Can we just step aside for a second? Why are all of the Senate and the why is all of our politicians such degens?
They're the worst.
Why?
They're such degenerates.
Why are they the worst? Why is the pattern so abundantly clear to me that if you're a politician, not a junior politician, like you've been in the game, like you're a Bernie Sanders level, you've been in, and you're a Joe Biden level. Like, why is it the natural tendency that you get into politics, you become a cretin, you become like a minion of Satan? Why is this? I feel like I'm channeling Stu Peters right now. Like, seriously, that's what he would say. You know, why do these cretins become the low lives of all humanity? Why is it that we see it in the political arena? Why is that, Matt?
Or is it that those are the people that survive living and working in such a evil place?
They are already evil cretins.
Or
politics,
the place where they go is a harbor of evil. And they get infected when they get there.
They say, and I truly believe this, that money doesn't change you. Money just makes you more of who you are. If you are a gracious and giving person when you had no money, guess what happens when you have money? You're still a gracious and giving person. If you're an egomaniac and you like crack and whores when you're poor, guess what's going to happen, Hunter, when you get money? You still do the same thing. Money doesn't change you. It just exacerbates who you already are.
Amplifies.
Yeah, that's a good word. It amplifies already who you are. So when these senators and these people on the floor of Congress are talking about, TikTok only serves me gay prawn, it's like, brother,
that's all you're looking for.
That's all you're doing.
And you are sitting there
nasty
and you
fuck.
You are double-clicking the like.
Nasty. Nasty. Man, politics sucks, dude. I hate these people.
Did you?
You know the meme, like, you don't hate them enough?
Yeah.
You don't hate them enough?
You need to humiliate them.
I feel like we don't hate them enough. Like, we don't humiliate them enough.
Did you see that the FTC is banning non-compete agreements?
I'm all over the FTC, man. You're moving into my financial game. Yeah, absolutely. I was all over that, dude. That's a new thing.
I was sued by a former employer 8 years ago.
Really?
For switching companies. I had a sales job and I moved to another company and they sued me for breaking a non-compete. I was in that legal battle with them for 8 years. 8 years of legal shit for this company.
What was the reason?
Because they said I had a non-compete agreement.
But what was the clause? Did you carry over sensitive documents?
Nothing.
They just didn't want you working with you. You're working with Reebok. You leave Reebok. Now you're working for Nike. They don't want you working for Nike.
Exactly. And they sued me. 8 years.
That's why I'm just going to give you my opinion right now. That's why the repeal of this non-compete. I was very happy.
It's so bullshit. It is hindering people from having ability to make their living, have jobs, get a competitive advantage, go and get more pay. It's bullshit. And finally, they're going to come down to it. It's probably not going to make it through.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is as much as it seems like a shining opportunity for a government to actually do one thing right, it looks like it's probably going to get squashed.
Yeah.
Because there's too much interest on the other side of the aisle. So I think this is an amazing idea. I don't think any that we as humans should have the unfettered ability to traverse however we want to live, do whatever we want to do, work with whoever we want to work with. Now, I understand provisions. If you are in senior executive leadership, there probably should be clauses for security reasons, for information reasons.
I get it. IP protection.
Totally legit.
Get it.
But if you're not executive leadership, just like James O'Keefe wasting all of his juices on low-level guys, James, it's a mid-level manager. They're useless.
Because that senior levels don't give up the information until they get it.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
You got to pay the piper first, and then you got to be like Meek Mills. You got to be like in the pool going, man, I did get it. And I regret it. It's the face of regret. Which, by the way, if you saw the thumbnail for this first inaugural live stream podcast, my face looked like a Meek Mills Diddy regret. It's like the face that you have right after you get diddied. That's the face of regret. It's like, man, I'm part of the Illuminati now, but dude, what price did I have to pay?
Did you see the last topic for the day? Did you see the robo flamethrower?
Oh, like,
bro,
fucking awesome,
dude. Dude,
fucking awesome. Come on,
can we get one?
Yeah, let's go.
I wanted
to buy one of the original flamethrowers when Elon launched it. His flamethrowers, but the robot dog, definitely. Are you guys watching this?
It's 10 grand though.
Totally,
worth it?
Totally worth it. Can you imagine having this thing? Like, can you imagine the next time, for everybody who's watching this on stream, the next time that you're out and you're trying to get to work, and you got these blue-haired sheepdog that are hanging out in the middle of the highway, that's where you say, this is why I spent the 10 grand. You go to the back of your 4Runner, you open up the back, you pop this guy out, you turn him on, and you say, go to town. Go to town, my four-legged creature. Enjoy it. The world is yours. That's what I would do.
Let him loose on college campuses right now.
Let him rip. Right. Let him rip.
Like, protect your house during like BLM riots or your storefront.
I would have one of these just roaming around my house at all times.
I would, you know.
And there's no regulation on this because of flamethrower. Anyone can buy one, which is wild.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you can put an M4 on top of it. Right?
However, I saw that the only way to control it is through Bluetooth and Wi-Fi.
Really?
That's how you control it.
Ah!
That seems kind of risky.
That seems so basic.
Well,
what if it cuts out?
That's what I'm saying.
How many times your Bluetooth cut out?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
What if it's roaming around, it's like starts flaming, and you're like, stop, and you're like, fuck, disconnected, hold on, buffering. Like, shit.
That's where your phone's like, cannot reconnect to flame dog.
And then are you going to run up there and manually hit the button?
No, because you're part of the...
How do you disengage
at that
then?
Point? The dog doesn't know the difference. He's going to flame you up.
Dude.
You're gonna look like that guy who set himself on fire in Trump's thing.
I got a better idea. Why don't you get one of these first? We'll play with it at your house. and then if it works out, I'll get one too.
You know what I think, though? I think it would... Do you know... I don't know why my brain is so messed up. It's the autism. I think we should buy one of these just so we can have it literally 24/7, just do a routine around the house. And do you know how many viral hits you'd get? People run by like, dude, there's that dog again. Like, don't go to that house. Like, that dog gonna get you.
Can you train it to go after certain animals? Like, how much, what level of automation can you add into this?
I mean, it's got cameras.
Like, if I had raccoons, can I have it get the raccoons but not the squirrels? And can we not get my neighbor's two small dogs? Because they'd be really upset.
Oh, bro. I'm liking this. The more that I look at it, the more it's... What is it about cool technology and fire, Will? It's just, at the end of the day, we haven't evolved past cavemen, have we?
Right. It's in a man's DNA to love that shit.
If the guy that burned himself in front of the Trump trials, instead of using whatever he used, if he stood there and then had a robo flamethrower dog show up... Dude, that shit would have been like extra super viral.
Oh, dude, he probably would have made enough money to pay off all of his second degree burns.
Anybody know?
Yeah, he's alive. Apparently, he didn't get burned that bad.
Interesting.
And apparently, if you see the interesting video of him being carried onto the stretcher, they didn't have any burn bags or any of the thing that the experts would say that you would have for a burn victim. But it's kind of like...
like conspiracy theorists.
Do you remember when... what was her name? Catherine Heck? Do you remember when she... Hetch? Do you remember her? I probably got her name wrong. Some of you guys probably know this. That actress... who was going to release a documentary on, let's just say, bad things happening to little people, and then she got in a car accident and she died. Hurdy died, says Truth for All Mankind. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, says Perry C. Oh, that guy is feeling the holiday spirit. Poor garbage pandas.
Allegedly.
Anne Heck, yes. Anne Heck. If you look up the video, you'll see Anne Heck was supposed to release – this is sometimes where my internet goes. She was supposed to release a video exposing bad people doing bad things to little people.
What little people?
Kids.
Oh.
And she got in a car accident.
I thought you meant like midgets.
No. Car accident, and then they pulled her away out of the car accident. They put her in a body bag. She was still alive, and you could see the video of her trying to escape.
And then, whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe for next week.
Maybe for next week, guys.
Let us know what you guys think about the new format. We're going to try. We're going to get more organized. I'm going to work on the ticker.
Yes.
We want to do a ticker. I think the ticker would be really cool. We want to have more assets prepared. Totally brand new. Totally trying new things out. Trying a new format. And if this works, I think this is what we're going to do moving forward. What do you think about today?
I like this.
It's totally different.
It's totally different. It's cool. I mean, our conversations are the same, whether we're podcasting,
correct,
pre-recording, or whether we're doing on stream. I like the addition of Will and being able to pull these videos up quickly, which is always nice. I like the chat. So I'm loving it, other than the fact that I look ogre-ish, which I don't like. I look terrible.
We'll work on the lighting.
Like,
also could be the monitor that we're using.
I look ugly. AF right now, and it's not that I care. I'm a dude, but at the same time, I don't like staring at my ugly ass.
On Thursday, I believe we're gonna have Shaney Rich in the house, so definitely come check that out. Shaney Rich is gonna be in your chair on Thursday.
What's up?
So we're gonna do that. We're gonna talk to the street polar himself, and that's what we got. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day. See you next time. Peace out, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy Monday.
Happy Mondays, guys. I like this. It's good.
Yeah, that's cool.